For there's no doubt in the mind of anyone who has studied historically the issue that our forefathers built a Christian nation.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we take a look at the ongoing problem of overreaching courts that are undermining our most basic freedoms.
Well, I think there are a lot of areas in which we have drifted quite a ways from the original intent of the founders.
And unfortunately, in recent decades, the courts have been chipping away at our Christian freedom in this nation.
The Supreme Court made itself very important by getting involved in issues that it really shouldn't have.
Join us as we look forward to the 4th of July on today's Truths That Transform.
Where can we stand as the tsunami of cultural changes threatens to sweep away our rights and liberties? Find out in Here We Stand, the new hardcover book by Dr. Frank Wright, and the companion DVD, Standing for Truth, available only through D. James Kennedy Ministries. You'll hear from frontline Christians who are standing strong.
People who took their pro-choice friends to see Unplanned, and those friends walked out pro-life.
I stood up for my values and my faith, and I said that I believe marriage should be between a man and a woman.
It's those who have the courage to stand up when the bell's tolled to say, yes, here I am.
I've got my U.S. passport, and I've got a heavenly passport. And whatever happens to this country, whatever happens to me, there's a future that goes beyond this.
We are in a pivotal moment in history, and that's why Dr. Frank Wright wrote, Here We Stand, a generational call to the radical kingdom of God, to give you biblical hope for the future and provide essential truth in a culture awash in hostility toward your Christian faith. For a generous donation of $60 or more, we will send you the DVD, Standing for Truth, plus the brand new hardcover book, Here We Stand, written by Dr. Frank Wright. Contact us today and help us stand for truth and defend your freedom.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Before we begin, I need to share something very important with you. This is the final day of our fiscal year, which ends at midnight tonight. This ministry has stepped out in faith this year in a number of important ways, including the nationwide syndication of this program. This national platform gives us an enormous megaphone for biblical truth, but it is also very expensive, and we really need your help. If we do not meet our financial obligations by midnight tonight, we will be forced to make significant program cuts. And with a pivotal election coming up next year and our nation in the midst of cultural chaos, that is the last thing we want to do. So I'm asking you to please contact us right away with a generous donation. We will thank you by sending you an exclusive DVD program, Standing for Truth, which we'll tell you more about on today's program. Please call the toll-free number or go online to djkm.org and give your most generous donation today. Later this week, we celebrate America's birthday. We have much to celebrate as Americans, above all, freedom under God. But today, there are many who undermine our God-given rights, which are spelled out in the Declaration and protected in the Constitution. We see these freedoms eroded by courts that rewrite the Constitution to say what they want it to. In effect, this practice of judicial activism turns the Constitution on its head. As each year, around this same time, we wait for the Supreme Court to issue its dictates. Our own John Rabe has more.
I think we all need to be watching and praying about what happens with the United States Supreme Court.
Well, I think there are a lot of areas in which we have drifted quite a ways from the original intent of the founders.
You know, it's funny. The founding fathers referred to the judicial branch as the weakest branch. Now, they didn't see it as taking this activist role of basically being a dictatorship.
In late June, the nation awaits the Supreme Court's rulings because that court holds an enormous amount of power. But is it a power that America's founders intended a slight majority of unelected judges to have?
It's because our founders understood the basic sin nature of man. Not a popular concept in a postmodern world, but nonetheless, they understood our inherent nature was to be a sinner and that we needed a savior. So they put in place a system of checks and balances and created the three branches of government, the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. And the writing of the founders is crystal clear that of the three, the lower of the three is the judicial branch because they did not want an oligarchy.
Founding father and third president Thomas Jefferson warned as early as 1819, the Constitution, on this hypothesis, is a mere thing of wax in the hands of the judiciary, which they may twist and shape into any form they please.
Well, the Supreme Court made itself very important by getting involved in issues that it really shouldn't have. It should have been leaving to the states, or really expanding the role of the Supreme Court and making itself the final word on nearly every issue.
The ultimate debate in all this is a judge's view of the Constitution. Is it something to be interpreted according to the words themselves as an originalist judge would hold? Or is the Constitution like silly putty that can be molded to say whatever an activist judge wants it to say? The ultimate question is this: will we be self-governed, or will we be ruled by unelected judges in Washington?
An originalist is nothing more than somebody who looks at the words of the Constitution and tries to find out what they originally meant. Same thing with statutes. You sometimes hear a textualist. Justice Scalia used that word for himself. That just means that you pay attention to the text. When Congress enacts a statute, they don't enact some vague idea. They enact text. They enact words. But it basically comes down to when a federal judge looks at a statute or the Constitution, does he try to find out what it means? Or does he try to make it mean what he wants? That's what it comes down to. Those are two radically different kinds of judges. And the debate over judicial appointments is the debate over which of those two kind of judges is the most important.
This debate has come to a head a number of times in recent Supreme Court history. The late Judge Robert Bork was viciously attacked for his originalist views, and his nomination was defeated in 1987. Clarence Thomas was dragged through the mud for his originalist views. More recently, Justices Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, who believe in sticking closely to the text of the Constitution, were narrowly confirmed to the court, but only after bitter partisan showdowns. With religious freedom hanging in the balance this year, those appointments by President Trump are key.
It would be important to have Supreme Court justices who have a very humble view of their role, not this arrogant view that they can impose their opinions on the rest of the country, but rather a very humble view that respects the role of the people in our form of government.
The idea that our federal courts would dictate laws to us and sit in judgment over our God-given rights would have been anathema to the founding generation. But as the courts have slowly deposed God, they have set up government as the giver and taker of rights, a tyrannical atmosphere in which freedom cannot long survive. Nobody understood this better and articulated it as well as Dr. D. James Kennedy. His daughter, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, now joins us. Jennifer, your dad was a careful student of Christianity's influence in the American founding, wasn't he?
He sure was. And you know, he was speaking about it nationwide at a time when almost no one else did. When I sat under my dad's teaching week after week, month after month, year after year growing up, I came to understand and appreciate how biblical Christianity played such a pivotal role in the founding of this great nation. And when I went off to college, I was shocked by how little other people knew about these things. But this isn't just dry history. These are very relevant truths with great implications for the future. As my dad reminded us, we need to understand the past so we can know what we are supposed to be in the present and in the future. There is a great struggle right now, as Dad so often said, for the very heart and soul for America. That's why we're so pleased to bring you a portion of this vital message from my father, Dr. D. James Kennedy, entitled, Building a Christian Nation.
I would like to speak to you today not only on the building of a Christian nation, but also the rebuilding of the same. For there's no doubt in the mind of anyone who has studied historically the issue that our forefathers built a Christian nation. But we have been involved in the last 50 years, particularly with those who have worked assiduously to tear it down, to destroy the foundations. And now there is a renewed interest and desire on the part of many millions in this country to see it rebuilt again. America was founded by people who loved God and trusted in the divine grace of Jesus Christ and desired, most of all, to make him known to others. We don't have to rely on somebody's opinion. We can hear it right from themselves. As you may know, William Brantford was the historian and governor of Plymouth Plantation. He wrote the only history of the time. He's the only source. He was governor for decades. And he said that before they even left England, they wrote these words about their reason for coming. Was it gold? Let's see. They came here and founded this colony with a, quote, great hope and inward zeal they had of laying some good foundation, or at least to make some way thereunto, for the propagation and advancing of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ in those remote parts of the world. Yea, though they should be but even as stepping stones unto others for the performance of so great a work. That's why they came, because of an inward zeal and a great hope of propagating the far ends of the earth with the gospel. But then when the pilgrims actually arrived here, as you know, before they set foot on the land, they met in the captain's cabin of the Mayflower and wrote what has been called the birth certificate of America, the Mayflower Compact. And how does the Mayflower Compact begin? Seeing that we need to set up some kind of a secular organization here to run this thing, we'll... No, that's not what they said. They said, in the name of God, amen. That's how America began. Continuing with these words. Give them a hand. Thank you. Again, they tell us exactly why they have arrived on these shores. Quote, having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. Having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, that is why they came, and that is what they did. And if we go forward, we can come to the end of the 19th century when there was a great trial before the Supreme Court. It's called the Trinity Decision. And they said this, quote, these references in a volume of unofficial declarations add to the mass of organic utterance that this is a religious people. This is a Christian nation. Our founders built this godly nation that we have inherited. And in the lifetime of virtually everyone here, we have seen it brick by brick, brick being torn down. But it can be rebuilt. It was built by men. It was torn down by men. It can be rebuilt by men as well. And thankfully, in the last several decades, there has been a revival of interest in the founding of this country and what it was intended to be and what it can be again. And God will change this nation.
As Dr. Kennedy just shared, what made this nation so great was our godly heritage. And that heritage is the bedrock for our rights and freedoms. Yet today, most people don't even realize that we have Christian roots. The work of secularists has ensured that instead of having inalienable rights that come from our Creator, we have so-called rights that are manufactured or disposed of at will by the federal courts. As a result, the Supreme Court is like a super legislature, and battles over who will sit there comprise our fiercest cultural wars. My friend Wendy Wright, president of Christian Freedom International, is a longtime Washington insider who has been deeply involved in the battle over the courts. She recently sat down with our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb.
Well, Wendy, thank you so much for joining us. Why is the Supreme Court so important? Or put it this way, who died and made the Supreme Court God?
Well, the Supreme Court made itself very important by getting involved in issues that it really shouldn't have. It should have been leaving to the states, or really expanding the role of the Supreme Court and making itself the final word on nearly every issue. So its role has expanded tremendously since the time of the Founding Fathers.
You know, as we look at the moral landscape of America, we see all these major changes, especially since the 1960s. Would you say the Supreme Court has played a role in that, with issues like school prayer, abortion, the Ten Commandments in public places, same-sex so-called marriage?
The reason why social issues are so contentious in the United States is because the Supreme Court has weighed in and put a thumb on the scale, you could say, on the side of a more liberal view, an anti-religious freedom view, for too long. And it's taken decades for us to be able to put justices on the court who have a proper view of religious freedom, which has a great impact on all these social issues. Many of these social issues are very near and dear to the heart of Christians. We value the sanctity of human life. We value the role of prayer in public life as well as private life. And so when the Supreme Court had weighed in the 1950s, the 1960s, and the 1970s, restricting prayer in school, restricting public prayer, making abortion on demand the so-called law of the land, it had the effect of restricting religious freedom and saying to Christians in particular that you're not valued, your viewpoint is second class, and you should just shut up and stay home.
When we see the process of judges going before the Senate for confirmation hearings, and sometimes you see the contentious battle over such a nominee, would it be safe to say that at the end of the day, the 800-pound gorilla in the room is abortion? I mean, it's like Roe v. Wade is the holy grail to the left, and it must be preserved at all costs, regardless of what the founders said, regardless of what the Constitution says. That's it. And is that why there's so much fireworks, you know, in the battles over this?
When John Roberts was nominated to the Supreme Court, I was interviewed by ABC News, and they tried every which way they could to make sure that I brought up the word abortion. That's all the mainstream media cared about when it came to a Supreme Court nomination, was abortion. Abortion matters as an extreme amount. But we should also be looking at things like religious freedom, because if a justice has a high view of religious freedom, then they're going to respect the views of Christians when it comes to abortion. And they're not going to give this extreme rulings that a government should allow abortion on demand and that every American must be complicit in abortion, such as paying for abortions and facilitating abortions. So it's important for us as Christians to take a broad view, a very high view as it, when it comes to abortion, but also recognize that there are many things that, by which Supreme Court justices and nominees should be judged on.
Wendy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Last year's pitched battle over the confirmation of Justice Brett Kavanaugh was a stark reminder of the outsized role the Supreme Court has taken in America. The court has imposed everything from abortion on demand to same-sex marriage in America, and it has pushed aside our freedom-giving Judeo-Christian tradition to do it. Justice Samuel Alito issued a prophetic warning after the imposition of same-sex marriage by judicial fiat. He said, "I assume that those who cling to old beliefs will be able to whisper their thoughts in the recesses of their homes. But if they repeat those views in public, they will risk being labeled as bigots and treated as such by governments, employers, and schools." Well, that's a very cogent description of exactly what we see happening today. But this is no time to wring our hands in despair. This is a time to stand for truth. And we have put together some powerful resources to equip and encourage you to stand for Christ in this increasingly hostile environment. The first is our exclusive new DVD program, Standing for Truth. This program features Abby Johnson, the courageous former Planned Parenthood clinic director, who is now perhaps America's foremost pro-life advocate. You will meet a Miss California USA who endured a firestorm of national controversy simply for declaring that she believes in traditional marriage. And we hear from former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, who cheerfully battles for truth in the media. And there's much, much more as well. We will send you this special DVD program, Standing for Truth, only available through this ministry as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of the ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. And as you give, please remember that our fiscal year ends tonight at midnight, so we really need to hear from you immediately. If you have ever thought about making a generous donation to this ministry, now is the time to do it. We have stepped out in faith to broadcast biblical truth on issues that many others won't even touch because they are deemed too controversial. And it is very expensive to do that. And as a result, we have been attacked by the likes of the Southern Poverty Law Center, who want to destroy us and groups just like us. Dear friends, if we don't have your help, we will be forced to make significant cuts to our ministry outreach. And we don't want to do that. So please give a generous donation. And if you can give a gift of $60 or more, we will send you the special DVD program, Standing for Truth, plus my brand new hardcover book, Here We Stand, A Generational Call to the Radical Kingdom of God. I wrote this book because I want to see our nation reclaimed for Christ and our freedoms regained. And in this book, I provide what I believe is a biblical roadmap to see that happen. This book is as important to me as any subject I've ever worked on. And I will send you a copy, along with the DVD, Standing for Truth, as our thanks for your generous donation of $60 or more. simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. Each June, the nation awaits judgments from the United States Supreme Court that will tell us which of our rights still apply, which have been done away with, and which new ones the court has invented out of whole cloth, as they did with Roe versus Wade in 1973. Much of the controversy surrounding the court comes from the fact that for decades it has operated outside its constitutional authority, taking on powers the Constitution does not give it. An authority is only legitimate when it operates within its prescribed bounds. And there is only one authority that has no bounds, and that authority is the Lord God Himself. He has no bounds because He created everything. And thus everything and everyone is under His jurisdiction. We have it exactly backwards here in America, allowing the Supreme Court to dictate on issues like marriage and abortion, while relegating God to some stained glass ghetto of private spirituality. But God is not mocked, and there is no place where we can escape His watchful eye. And therein lies our great problem, because we are all sinners. We have all transgressed His law, every one of us. And God would be entirely just to punish us eternally for our rebellion against Him. But this judge, the true judge of everything in the world, is also exceedingly gracious. Into this world of woe, He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, the one true God who took on the nature of a human being and suffered on the cross as one of us for the sins of each of those who come to Him by faith for salvation. Members of the Supreme Court come and go. Their rule will not survive retirement or the grave, but the eternal God who is just and hates sin will always be there. If you have not already, turn to Christ today and be saved from the judgment of God who knows all and has authority over all. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
I've heard people say numerous times, this was never a Christian nation. It was never founded as such. My friends, those that say that have little understanding of the historical foundation of America.
Then what happens to that idea of freedom? Because when that dies, then America dies.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.